T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Again, we did not dress like Jason Sudeikis or a clown today. And I do actually want to give the morning show kudos. I thought it was funny as hell that they did that. And there's nothing funnier than somebody with clown makeup on, giving a very thoughtful, passionate sports take.
It's why I said earlier, like just some tragedy, something. If something serious would have happened, I just don't know what he would have done. Because I don't know. Do you go to the bathroom and wipe it off? Is that what you do?
The makeup.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't know what we were talking about.
Does Lima take over in those moments? Something serious happens. Lima takes over, and then Ken goes to the bathroom and just scrubs it all off as quick as he possibly can?
I mean, I think that would be cowering to the moment.
Is that the next evolution of that?
No. I think you stand there and deliver the news like a broadcaster. What would Cronkite do?
Cronkite wouldn't put it on to begin with, I think.
I don't know. Would he wipe that makeup off, or would he say something seriously terrible has happened, and I'm here to deliver that news?
Well, so what is that setting? What kind of precedent is it setting for us that we didn't dress up in any sort of way? Because I am looking at all the sports television people, and like McAfee is dressed up, but then Stephen A. didn't dress up. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Jason McIntyre dressed up, but then Colin Cowherd didn't dress up. And I noticed the people that want to be taken seriously, which is not me or you in any sort of way, they didn't end up dressing up.
So I actually will give the morning show more credit on this. I knew when I went to the Halloween store today to look for a thing, it had to be good. Because if it looked like I kind of half-assed it, I just feel like it would have been like I would have killed the bit. So like I was like, is this as good as what the morning show had?
Okay.
Because I wanted to make sure that if we were going to do it, it was at the optimum level of fun.
I guess we got time for next year, right?
I think we do.
We got 12 months to think about it. Next year we'll maybe deliver.
The most embarrassing thing is my sister makes clothes. I could have had her make me anything.
Really?
And I just thought of that right now while we're on the air.
It's always too late.
Yeah, it is.
It's always too late.
I have ADHD, guys. Get off my back. We've got Chris Fedor coming up at 4:20 today. Daryl Ryder coming up at 6. But we played some Kevin Stefanski audio. I do want to get to the Travis Hunter stuff again in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of you that didn't join us on the Kevin Stefanski show yesterday, Kevin got into the offense and what was ailing the offense, including how the offense can get more vertical in passing game.
As we do this week and during the bye week, you watch all these plays together and you're kicking yourself because it's one thing here and then it's one thing there where it's just stopping you from hitting those shots. They're there. They will continue to be there. But we have to do our job. Again, it's not a player thing. It's an all of us thing. We have to do our job in terms of making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be, and then we can start to hit these shots.
All right. I've said he might have a half against the Jets.
Okay.
By the way, I expect him to play the full Jets game because if you can't have a good game against the Jets, I don't know you belong in the NFL.
Well, and right now I don't know that he belongs in the NFL.
I still think he belongs in the NFL as a second or third guy on the depth chart.
Sure.
So I think it's at least one game. What do you think the leash is for Dylan?
I think one game is fair. I think, game-to-game basis seems about right for him now. Now, again, this is me speaking. This is not what the Browns will do, because constantly what I say is not what the Browns end up doing, because they just think differently than I do in many, many areas.
So it's interesting. The Browns don't move as quick as you or I move, which
although they
is fair.
Did move quick with Flacco. We got to give them credit on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think that's what's interesting, is I think the Browns are a little ahead of what maybe most fans think, or at least casual fans think. So I think that's what's interesting, is I think you and I are all gas, no brakes.
Yeah.
I think most fans are, well, you don't do that often. They kind of fall in a lull with quarterbacks. And I think the Browns are kind of the sweet spot here. So I think that's what's so interesting about this is, if you're Kevin Stefanski and you deploy the plays are there, he's got to let it rip, which was the other half of the sound that we played earlier mm-hmm. in the show. You can't be saying that for 3 weeks. And I think that's what's going to be it. Because if you're still saying this from 3 weeks, at some point it becomes your fault.
Right, but it does set up itself really nicely for that idea that it's been percolating for a while for myself, that Dylan ends up getting 6 games, Shador gets the final 7, and then whoever looks better out of those two starts next season while you then prep the quarterback for 2026.
I think the only thing
the rookie quarterback
the
that
only
you draft.
Thing that troubles me, and it doesn't trouble me. I just think it's really interesting that they're giving Dylan 2 weeks. And if not a lot really truly upsets me now, other when they, like the Browns, insult your intelligence by not having Andrew Berry available this week, despite the fact that Andrew Berry spoken at the bye mm-hmm. his first 5 years here. And basically, they just don't want to send him up because either they're setting Kevin Stefanski up to be the fall guy, or they just don't want to answer for how absolutely bananas this organization has driven this thing off the course. But like, most things are not going to upset me at this point. Meaning like long-lasting upset.
Okay.
Meaning like, all right, Monday I might be mad about it, but by Wednesday I'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
If you, because you've given Dylan Gabriel the bye, and you've given him this Jets game, if he doesn't look good against the Jets, I think everyone has a right to be hair on fire pissed off on that Monday.
And people will, because people left last week's game already being, what did you just say?
Hair on fire, pissed off.
Yeah. They were. Now, what happens if he looks good? And I'm not talking about looks great. I'm just talking about looks good, looks passable. Is he always going to be on this? Well, the moment the next game gets played and you go back to looking like we just saw you play in that Patriots game, then you're out? Or does the leash get reset?
So I think it's really complex if he looks just passably better, because passably better is going to look night and day different, right? Functional. That first Minnesota game, he had a lot of functional moments in there.
Yeah.
And had a lot of rookie moments, but surprised people how functional he looked.
Mm-hmm.
Functional right now, like the Minnesota game version of Dylan Gabriel would look like Steve Young compared to what we've seen the last 3 games. So I still think we're on a game-to-game basis, though. Like, I think
You play good, you get another game.
Yes.
And then the moment you play bad, then you're just gone.
It depends on how the bad looks.
Yeah, we're going to need some context, obviously.
If it's Miami bad, and you and I disagree on that, but if it's Miami bad, I think that's one thing. If it's New England bad, yeah, if he goes from a Minnesota game against the Jets to looking Pittsburgh bad or New England bad against the Ravens, then I think it's curtains.
I've had a hard time figuring out what the Browns think about him, and Stefanski speaking last night, I think it gave some clarity that they've at least adjusted what they initially thought of him, and I think that's so important for everyone to understand and to hear that they are at least, they're not as smitten as they once were. And that's a spot, Nick, that I don't think either one of us thought they'd be able to get to at this point this season.
So from writing off the Browns' third-round pick, which I think we did when they drafted him,
mm-hmm.
to potentially writing off the number 2 pick in the draft, we talked in quick hits about Travis Hunter's knee injury, which is going to cost him at least the next 4 games as he's gone on the IR. I didn't think he was going to be a star regardless, and that was part of our discussion, right?
Yeah, neither one of us really did, though. If I'm remembering our conversations correctly, I think we were, now correct me if I'm wrong, now I know you liked Mason Graham always,
mm-hmm.
and I remember you liked him. Did you like Abdul Carter or didn't like him? You did or didn't?
Yeah.
You did, okay.
Because I thought him across from Miles would be lethal.
Yeah, I was not the biggest Abdul Carter guy. I remember that. And then with Travis Hunter, I think I wanted them to take an offensive player, but I think I was so wrapped up in Shador, but it was not Travis.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Jacksonville was leaked, I think the three guys that I wanted were either Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, or Mason Graham. And if any of those three guys fell, I would have been happy.
Will Campbell looks good in hindsight. That would have been nice. Like think about it like months after the fact. It just there was like a 2.5 week stretch where it felt like everyone in Browns media wrapped their heads around him being a unicorn. Yeah. And him being extremely special.
It wasn't just Browns media, though.
National media, too.
Like,
you're right.
I think they pushed it more than even local media. And it's interesting because, like, I think there's a lot of frustration that Mason Graham isn't, I don't know, Chris Jones to this point. And, like, if Mason Graham is what he is right now, which is he is incredible against the run defense, and he's good, not great.
Well, they
in
can't.
The, pass
the advanced stats on that stuff can't get it right with him anyway, though. Like ESPN's win pass rush metrics love him. PFFs hate him.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the things I think we need to discuss at some point in the offseason is how just ass backwards they seem to have some of these advanced metrics when it comes to guys like interior defensive linemen.
But like, I think he's been fine. And by the way, there are points where I think he's been awesome. But I also think there have been moments where he looks like a rookie. And it's funny that, like, when we talked about this during Quick Hits,
yeah.
One of the people on the YouTube chat was like, he has to be Chris Jones to make this trade work out. And I'm like,
not really.
You've got Mason Graham, Quinshon Judkins, Dylan Sampson, and a first next year. If all four of those players turn out just to be quality NFL players, right? Or you get three of the four guys are quality NFL starters, even if Travis Hunter is a you know, the 15th best wide receiver or the 15th, 10th best corner, you win the trade hands down. Because you didn't just need one great player. You needed, you know.
But I think the fear at the time was that you were not taking someone that was at one point for cornerbacks comped to Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
And then was comped with a multitude of different high elite wide receivers that you could just basically throw anyone out there and you'd match what people thought about Travis Hunter. And it's like, that's not what they got.
Yeah. Well, and
but even if they got that, it's really not the end of the world for the Browns.
But like, I look around, like, because I just look at it from the Mason Graham lens, where I think people have gotten impatient with him.
They have,
and I'm like, listen, Will Campbell went a pick before, Abdul Carter went the pick before that. If you look at the guys after, like, Armand Membo's been fine.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In New York, that's also one of the worst offenses in the NFL. Like, you look at the guys who went after him, there's not one player the five picks after.
Even Abdul Carter's not really that good at this point. It's so early, though.
But he wasn't on the board, at least, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the guys that went right after. Like in the 2014 trade down.
Well, I'm saying if they had just taken number two instead of Travis Hunter, if they'd just taken at number two, Abdul Carter, for instance.
But, like, I always think of – I like trying to compare things to the 2014 trade down, where if you had stayed at four, you could have taken Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been nice, right? Hell of a football player. And you traded down, I think, to nine, and I think you were targeting Mike Evans. And then Mike Evans, I think, went a pick before you. And then, like, three picks later was Odell. And then a pick after that was Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
And you drafted Justin Gilbert.
Yeah,
that's not what this is.
Right.
Like, you didn't trade down. Like, honestly, I think Travis might be a nice football player in the NFL. Starter caliber, maybe even top 15 starter caliber player. I think Mason Graham's going to be that too. He just might not be that as a pass rusher.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Donald. I think people wanted him to be Aaron Donald right out of the chute. And Aaron Donald had near double-digit sacks his first year, but it's like that can't be the expectation, guys.
Yeah, and I just like I'm really cool with where we are with the trade. Like, and honestly, listen, mm-hmm. I think there's a debate about Quinshon. Is he a franchise back or is he an, you know, 6'7"? Is he Joe Mixon? Right?
Yeah.
And
6'7"
without. You know what? I'm not even going to do that.
You did
6'7".
You did it. Yeah. You brought this into the table, not me.
That's on me. That's on me, dog. But even if he's just that, like a, you know, 6 to 10 year starter at defensive tackle and a maybe 6 to 7 year starter as a running back, a high quality running back, but not an elite running back. All right. Yeah. If they're going to put more weight on that first rounder to be another good football player, sure. But I've never been more confident that the Browns have made the right decision. I've never been more confident that I think Travis Hunter is a really good player, but I don't think he's going to be holy crap special.
Well, really good, I think, is even generous at this point. It's so early for me to say stuff like that, but it's just true. He just hasn't shown anything that's special.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, of course, you guys can chime in on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat as well.
At Scouting Community, Nick. They got it real wrong this year, didn't they?
Idiots. Bunch, but I got it right.
Bunch of idiots. Trevor Sikkema, where you hiding now, buddy?
We love you, Trevor.
We like Trevor.
Are you declaring the trade down for Mason Graham, eschewing drafting Travis Hunter? Are you declaring that a win for the Browns and a silver lining for Myles Garrett in all the Browns nonsense? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We are live from the Harry Buffalo here in Lakewood. And we're having fun.
Hey, we're having fun.
Xavier P. actually did throw out a name that I think Browns fans might want right now over Mason Graham. It is fair to say Tet McMillan.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
He's great, but it's just interesting. Like guys, if Mason Graham being a really good starter and not a great starter is the difference between you winning in the future and not, suffice it to say, you did a really bad job building the roster in general.
Yeah, it was always about getting as many picks as you possibly could in young rookie contracts and everything else. I'm not going to get upset by it because I wasn't upset in the moment. I can't get upset now.
Even the Quinshon thing, like I preferred Travion Henderson over Quinshon, but like the basis was I didn't think Quinshon was going to be a home run hitter in the NFL. Well, he's been a home run hitter.
Yeah.
So if he just ends up being like, I think Joe Mixon, and the reason why I brought that up is big, tough, physical runner, but maybe not a touchdown machine. But like Joe Mixon was like the 45th pick in the draft. If you get a solid starting quarterback, like guys that.
Yeah, Joe Mixon had problems for why he fell to 45,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I guess my point is like Nick Chubb being Nick Chubb and being the 33rd pick in the draft or the 35th pick in the draft, that tends to be more of the unicorn, right?
Yeah, even so, Nick Chubb, though, so it's funny about that is because there's a lot of Patriots fans right now that are, at the time, they wondered if they got the wrong Georgia back. Remember, they took Sony Michel and the Browns took Nick Chubb, and it was like, but they rationalized it, they justified it with the idea that Nick Chubb had that just dangerous knee injury that happened at Georgia, and that's why he ended up falling the way that he did. And what's funny is now Patriots fans have to wonder if they got the wrong Ohio State back.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, they went Henderson when they should have gone Judkins, but you can make an argument that there's reasons why Judkins was positioned where he was as well.
I will say that was funny to watch in the Patriots game.
Henderson actually looked better than I thought he was going to.
I was going to say he had a couple
I thought
runs.
He was pretty good.
And it was like that weird thing where it's like a Barstool guy be like, maybe Henderson's great. And be like, okay, All right.
And Ramondre Stevenson is out this week. He's going to have another big opportunity this week.
Does it matter if any of the four first players, so Fannin, Quinshon, Carson Schlesinger, Mason Graham, if they're all just really good players?
That's a win. Like people talk about like David Njoku, for instance. Like, do you consider Njoku's career and everything you've gotten out of that, is that a win for somebody that was taken as the third pick you had in the first round of that draft?
Yes, because I also think like he's been held back. His numbers have been held back by the quarterbacks he's played with.
Well, and he's also, yeah, he's been put in the doghouse like three different times by the Browns too. Like, there's been seasons where they just went ahead and was like, oh, we'll pay other tight ends instead of you, and we'll try to see if we can make this work out. You look at that as a win. The 8 years of production and constantly being reliable, that's a win.
Well, and like the weird thing about Njoku is, I think if you would put him, well, okay, let's put it this. I'm not even going to go with if you put him Pat Mahomes, he'd have 7,000 career yards. I'm not even going to go there, but I just went there. I also think like, I think our standards for tight ends are so back-asswards because we think Kelce's and Gronkowski's grow on trees, and it's like at any given moment, there are five truly elite tight ends in the NFL. And then there's a lot of guys that go from like 6 to 20 mm-hmm. that are good. They're serviceable. They have moments where they look like they could be a top five, but they're not consistently that guy.
Yeah.
And that's different from like I can name you top 20 top receivers that can put up elite stats at any given moment. Maybe not 20 running backs, but even quarterbacks now. I mean, like Jared Goff is maybe the 11th best quarterback in the NFL. He puts up elite stats. Baker.
Yeah, well, but there's tiers with quarterbacks too, though, because there's the Burrow, Lamar, Mahomes, Allen tier, and then there's everybody else, which is very similar, in my opinion, to what the tight end tiers that you're talking about. Like, for the longest time, it was Kittle, it was Andrews, and it was Kelce, and then it just kind of felt like everybody else was playing in that next tier.
Now, while we talk about the Browns, of course, it's the bye, and we have talked a lot about Myles Garrett as a trade piece this week. It was interesting. The amount of people who just watched the video of us talking about the potential godfather for the Eagles and that didn't then follow up, that just took what we were saying we would trade Miles, I thought it was really interesting. I think people are very sensitive about a Miles trade.
Really?
In a way that I'm just at a very practical point with the Browns.
Huh.
Whereas I don't think the Browns are at a practical point with where they are either. I don't think they're willing to admit how up a specific creek they are without a paddle.
So not to be that guy, I'm not to be like, oh, I missed that convo that happened online, but I feel like I missed that convo that happened online. So people, they wanted nothing to do with trading Miles at all?
Yeah, it was one or two of the extremes. It was either, of course you do that. We got a lot of, well, you get a bunch of second-round picks basically for him.
So, okay, so that is something that I feel like I could see a lot of people saying. A lot of people being like, oh, the Eagles' next three picks are, I think I even heard Daryl say something similar to that earlier today on with Ken and Anthony. It's like they're going to be 26, 28, 29. Well, that's basically second-round picks. It's like, no, it's not. That's still a first-round pick. That's not basically a second-round pick. That's still a first-round pick. Like, you got to stop making these end-of first-round picks into being basically chopped liver because there's so many good players that come out of the end of the first round. But the point is that when it comes to Miles in this discussion, I thought that we had gotten so many people on board with the idea that if they traded him this last offseason, that probably would have been best.
I did think of somebody that needs Myles Garrett more than the Eagles, and that the Eagles report being out there would benefit the Browns if the Browns were trying to drive a hard bargain.
All right. I'm intrigued.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Cowboys, and then I was like, I just don't know. I don't know if I love that enough. Walk me through it.
Which part?
With trade compensation, reason why the Cowboys are now the team. Obviously, they're trying to get something in return for the idea that they traded off Micah. I get that. I understand it. Jerry's talking about $100 billion in gas or something like that. Like, I don't even know that he's...
Like toots?
Not like toots.
Okay.
I guess there's like $100 billion of gas somewhere in the world that he's trying to find. This is like a... Yeah, he was on like Dallas radio earlier today Dallas Radio earlier today was complaining about the idea that Jerry had made a public comment about basically searching for all this $100 billion worth of gas or whatever resources are out there.
Are we sure he's just not going to be on the new season of Landman?
Well, they wondered if he was like starting to shift his focus away from the Dallas Cowboys.
Because he's
focused on, I don't know why, at like mid-80s, Jerry Jones is focused on finding $100 billion worth of other resources.
Do you think maybe it was the, well, that's good because he doesn't have enough money. But maybe
right? Like, don't you think at some point would you just be like, all right, cool, I'm going to chill?
I mean, if I was 80, I'd probably put more of my energy into winning one last championship.
If I had as much money as he does, I like that he does that he seems like he cares so much as an owner. But like, he's got his hand in all these different pots. Like, this is why he's
Jerry
Johnson.
Keep doing the 6'7 thing.
This is why. No, this is just how I was doing this before 6'7. I'll be doing this after 6'7.
6'7.
Which apparently people tell me 6'7 is now dead anyway.
Okay, who are those people?
Lindsay Rhodes today on Twitter said her fourth grader says 6'7 is no longer cool, and it's just the assumption that 6'7 sucks now.
All right.
Like, parents have killed 6'7.
Oh, one.
You want to know why? Because we're all dressing up as 6'7 for the Halloween costumes and such.
That's objectively
you
hilarious.
Saw the, you see the skit from Bill and Alyssa, our friends over there
at
Q104? They had a whole skit with one of our bosses, Chase Daniel, and it was a whole deal about like dressing up as 6'7.
I bet it was hilarious.
They're like, how's the show today? And Bill's like, yeah.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's like a six, and then he unzips his sweatshirt. He's got a six on there. And then it's like, Alyssa, what'd you think about the show today? She's like, I think it was a 7. And then they do the 6-7 bit. And that's why fourth graders don't think it's cool anymore, guys.
Okay, are we sure?
That's why they don't think it's cool anymore.
And I'm not trying to cast aspersions here.
Yeah.
What if Lindsay Rhodes' fourth grader just isn't cool?
It's on the table.
She works for Sumer Sports. Bit of a nerd. She wanted to trade Myles Garrett before it was cool. What if we're just really dealing with an unpopular fourth grader? Has anyone brought this to the table? Because I'm willing to bring
it
now.
Fourth grader says 6'7 is dead. I feel like a lot of adults started dressing up for Halloween as 6'7. We tried adopting it, and what did kids do? They run quicker from adults adopting things than anything.
Mm-hmm.
We killed 6'7 for these kids.
Mm. Now,
back to this. Jerry Jones says he has unlocked a $100 billion gas bounty in a drilling inferno. So like this has been the conversation in Dallas right now is like, is Jerry too much, is eyes on the prize too much of this $100 billion gas bounty and drilling inferno that focused on the team itself?
How do you unlock it?
I'd have to read the Wall Street Journal article for that.
Is this like Bitcoin? Like a passcode?
I don't think so. Like Dak,
or did he pay patronage to the Saudis? I'm just curious.
Legitimately, Dak Prescott yesterday called it definitely frustrating that Jerry Jones is so focused in on this $100 billion gas deal.
I mean, in fairness, I think Jerry's worth like $15 billion. $15 billion, I could use another $100 billion.
It's a real thing that happened in sports. They asked the starting quarterback of the Cowboys, what do you think about Jerry Jones spending so much time in this $100 billion investment into trying to figure out some gas project?
All right.
So I don't know that he's as committed as he used to be, is what I'm
saying. But maybe now that he's unlocked it, now that he's got the $100 billion pipeline here, maybe now he is ready to make the Myles Garrett trade.
Shoot, it was everywhere. GetUp Crew reacts to Jerry Jones, $100 billion comments. It was everywhere.
But I think if you're Jerry Jones, and listen, I'm not trading Myles for anything less than 3 first-rounders, because, again, if I'm going to do it, it's got to be, you've got to incentivize me. The Browns don't have to do anything. Right? And by the way, the reason why it works from Miles' side of things, he's a Texas kid. He wanted to go to Dallas in the first place.
He's from Dallas, yeah. Just a Texas kid. He's from Dallas.
So that's one part of why this makes sense. It's the rare team that is not a great team that he might actually go to. But I think it makes sense from their side because I think Miles would legitimately change the course of their season. I think Miles with the rest of that defensive line gives your defense a chance to be good enough for the offense to carry you to the playoffs and maybe more.
Well, and the thing I think we like about Dallas instead of like a team like the Eagles, for instance, is that we know that Dallas would likely lose in the first round if they even make it to the playoffs. And it's not pick 26, 27, 28. And there's no guarantee that in years to come it would be the back end of the first round because Dallas never gets it right.
Now, there's another sliver here of the Miles conversation, and it's about Miles having arguably his best season.
Yeah.
And what that means on a potential 4-win team
so
for him.
So here's what I think is really interesting about this, and I think this convo is going to ratchet up, especially if he starts to go closer to breaking the single season sack record or anything like that. Once he realizes that you can't be on a 4-win team as an already winner of the Defensive Player of the Year award, you can't be on a 4-win team and win the DPOY, I think it's going to do the same thing that happened last year, this year. Right, was Miles upset with the lack of wins last year? Of course he was. What I really think Miles was the most upset at is that he didn't have a chance of winning the DPOY with the dominant season that he had, because winning 4 games takes you out of that conversation.
Yeah, ironically, we just had the conversation of why is a guy with $15 billion net worth trying to unlock $100 billion? Well, why does a guy with one Defensive Player of the Year award get frustrated that he's not in a position to win one more? I think if the Browns were 10-7 last year, he would have had a pretty decent shot of winning a second. And I think if the Browns were in pace to be a 10 or 11 win team, honestly, 9 wins in a wild card team, and I think he's got a decent chance, especially if he finally cracks into the 18-19 sack range.
And he knows it. There's a reason why he was asked last weekend about whether he'd change all 5 sacks into basically nothing in order to get the win, is because the perception right now is that Miles is way more about his individual stats and is way more about what happens to Myles Garrett than what happens to the Browns. And I don't even fault him. But if the whole point of him playing as great defensively as he is on a 4-win team is that eventually he could end up winning a Defensive Player of the Year, it's not going to happen if they are, in fact, a 4-win team.
I would love to give this hypothetical question to Miles when he's not in front of a microphone so he might actually answer it.
You know what the answer would be?
A little truth serum?
I think you know what
you
the answer would be.
You can take the all-time single-season sack record, or for every win for every sack we take off your total, we add a win to the Browns' win total. So there'd be a sweet spot where you'd be a 9-win playoff team, and he'd still have like 18 sacks. Would you take it? That'd be the perfect thing for him, because he'd give up a little personally for a little bit of team success, and he'd also go ahead and win the Defensive Player of the Year award.
Yeah, I was reminded earlier today about that ESPN article he had when he was coming out of college at Texas A&M, and he was like listing out all his goals, and he talked about he wanted to be the single season sack leader, he wanted to win a DPOY, he wanted to be top 10 all time in career sacks, but didn't know if he'd play long enough to get there. All these type of things. He didn't mention Super Bowl in there. Like Miles is a me guy, and that's fine. But the problem with that is that being a me guy on a 4-win team leaves you with no more DPOYs.
Yeah, and I think the problem of that is being a me guy on a 4-win team. habitually, fans start to recognize that even more. I mean, there were people who spun his upset on Sunday at being taken out of the game that he was really just mad he couldn't make a run for the NFL single game sack record,
yeah,
which I believe is 7 sacks, as opposed to he was just mad that they weren't winning. Which, by the way, if it came out, I have had my criticism of Miles. I have had my defense of Miles. If Miles was really that upset, I don't know there's coming back from
I mean,
that.
Which one do you think makes the most sense? I think you know that answer. Oh, no, we have to go to break. Oh, no.
6-7.
Oh, no. Hey, Jerry Jones, $100
billion. 216-474-0092. All right. If you take the picks from the 3 first-rounders from the Eagles to 3 first-rounders from the Dallas Cowboys, does it change your answer on Myles Garrett? It does. It changes it a little bit for me. I'd still like a player or two back. I really like Tyler Booker, their guard out of Alabama. And the one day a year you can be miserable, but probably shouldn't. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Again, be forewarned, we're not dressed up. This is just how ugly I am in real life. But we can obviously, you can say hi, we'll talk some ball. They've got a great menu here. They've got some cervezas. I was just offered, the gentleman at the bar, would you like one? And I was like, of course I would like one, but I also would like to not be fired.
You want to stay employed, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I don't radio's not what it used to be.
Now, here's the thing.
You know,
I'm very, very, it's hard to tell when your boy is keezied up until it's not hard to tell.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, like, I think the problem isn't the first one.
And you think you're getting away with it is the problem.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem I have.
I'd have the first one, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm totally pulling this off.
Uh-huh.
And about 7 beers later, I'd still think I'd pulling it off. And then the problem is another 7 beers after that, which is right about my Mendoza line.
Yeah.
Right about 15 to 16 beers in is where we go from, I'm the most charming man, and I'm certainly sober as a judge, to, you guys can just get the hell out of my face.
Meanwhile,
real quick.
So I'm consistently the person trying to convince everyone that I'm not that drunk.
Ooh, that's not good.
While being
that's
hammered. They'll be like, you're hammered right now. And I'm like, I'm not that drunk. I'm perfectly fine.
Although if we're being as clear as we can be, is there anything more annoying on the planet than being... Not okay, you're clearly not sober, but you're also not drunk, and somebody being like, you're drunk. And it's like,
I think that's why I always took so much offense to it. Because I was like, no, I'm not that drunk. But like, sometimes I really was that drunk.
Vanessa will do that. I'll be like, I will let you know when I'm drunk.
I think that's what this is. You mentioned Vanessa. This might just be an Elise and my thing where it's like, yeah, it's the wife. The wife's always like, You're pretty hammered right now. And why do we always have a defensive nature with that one?
Because
we know there's limits to this and we're not close to it. Is that what that is?
Well, I think it is. Guys, when I'm drunk, I will make an absolute spectacle of myself.
When you hear George Strait singing in the background, that's how you know I'm drunk.
Yeah. When I get real cagey and defensive, you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, does Nick had a few? It is common knowledge, all right? I have shut down towns, all right? I'm basically this side of Godzilla when I really get out of hand.
Shut down towns?
Yeah.
You remind me of those, like, the bachelorette parties that are like, Nashville can't handle us. It's like, yeah, they can. Yeah,
yep.
They see a lot of you guys.
Nope. I'll tell you this. Any town I'm in when really hammered can't handle me.
Yeah, look out, Toledo.
So, like, I think that's what it is. I'm defensive because I know when I do get keezied up, that guy will come out, and I'm like, that guy's not here. I'm like, I can summon him
right,
if
this guy,
you'd
he
like.
Can get here. He can get here pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to see him, I'll go there.
Very impressive by the group in the corner there. They are. It's like 3:45. They're getting after it. I like that.
That's. I think one of them might have kids, but that's a good sign that. Or you've got the night off. God, what a gift. I mean, now my kids are 12 and 15, so I can just do it whenever. But it's not doesn't feel as special anymore, right? We need to earn it.
I would love it. Like I would love a night off. Yeah, I think that'd be a great call. You kidding me? I'd love that.
Now, today is it's Halloween. Spoiler alert. We are not dressed up. I am just this ugly.
I like the idea of someone that like made it to this part of the day and not realizing it's Halloween.
Honestly,
it was today.
Honestly, if one of my kids didn't go to school dressed up, and I didn't watch Ken on the YouTube channel this morning, I might not have known.
I feel like it's been hitting me in the face all day.
No, it's just the weirdest day to be Halloween.
You went to a costume store.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because I saw somebody else dressing up. I wasn't going to just naturally go
there. Reminders all day. I feel like it's been. Are people celebrating Halloween more this year than in years past?
Yes.
I don't know what's going on.
Because it's perfect. If you love Halloween.
It's a Friday, maybe?
You can do a two-weekend Halloween.
Fridays are a great day for Halloween.
People just did it last week, and like we trick-or-treated
last weekend.
People
did do it last weekend.
And like we're talking Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then you can do it again this
weekend. This is two Halloweens. You got two Halloweens this year.
I mean, this is six days of Halloween if you want.
You're double dipping in the Halloween this
year. By the way.
Cool for you.
Young Nick Wilson would eat this entirely up.
Yeah.
Like, I would have, by the way, I would have turned Thursdays into it. I would have had 8 days of Halloween. But it's interesting. It snuck up on me still because of last weekend with the trick-or-treating. But there is one member of the sports media just not really into Halloween. Mad Dog Russo on Sirius XM MLB.
Halloween to me is a complete waste of time. I can't stand it. I used to make sure I was working on the 31st when my kids were little, and I would say, honey, I got to do something at 6 o'clock. They're all yours. I hate it. I can't stand it. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to not have a little candy if somebody pops on the door. I'm not going to be that much of an ogre, but going out with people wearing outfits to buy candy to me is a complete waste. I can't stand it.
All right. I like Mad Dog. Especially when he gets like, hey, I'm a pop a gummy. Then he go pop another gummy.
Yeah.
Right? Like old weed hound.
He just wants to have some weed and watch some college football.
Like, love it. However, I don't know if maybe this is the aging part of me that I like realize what a finite amount of time we have here, how few fun things there really are to do as an adult. I do not give a rip how old you are. If you want to dress up today, if you want to ham it up, if you want to spend 6 days celebrating Halloween, go full tilt, man. Just enjoy every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just from the idea of that it's a waste of time, I think that's a get off my lawn moment that I think we need to start neutralizing going forward. Just let people have fun because it is fun.
Oh, it's definitely it's Gran Torino is what it is. It's Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino. It's got to be like a 99% to 1% of people in the I like Halloween versus I don't like Halloween category.
So can I tell you why I think
There's no gifts during Halloween. The only thing you give off is you give candy to kids, which is always like you're just making kids' day. Like that's just there's always a fun thing there.
It's
you
also
dress up in costumes if you like, and if you don't, you don't really have to either. No one's really going to judge you.
It's also a great party holiday.
Yeah,
like it's Halloween almost, adult Halloween parties are awesome,
and that it takes you back to college where that was a thoughts Super Bowl in many ways.
Oh yeah,
it's just a great holiday for that. A couple holidays are really.
I thought it was
really
more like a thoughts World
really
Series.
Thrive. Yeah, no, it is, though.
You had seven games.
Yeah, well, for this year, you definitely do. Yeah, but it is. It's like, this is where, that's the big guns
best
for the
best of six or best out of three?
Depending on who you are. You could be Joe Carter if you want to. You can have the walk-off if you want to. But, like, there's only...
Or the walk-on.
There's only a couple...
Walk under.
Walk anywhere you want
at
this point. You go Giamatti in the first scene of Billions, the very first scene, episode one.
Don't just tread on me. Tread on my friends, too.
It's a great holiday, guys. It's a great holiday.
So I
just can't believe somebody hates it.
Can I tell you that I do think there's a dividing line on people who go hard at Halloween? And it's not perfect, but I do think, like, our parents' generation, which Mad Dog Russo is a part, they didn't do Halloween in college the way we did.
No.
Yes, they had
it. Well, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't around then. I don't know.
My parents have kind of told me.
What was it like?
Well, we turned it into Bacchanalia. Right? Like, we turned it into, again, 6 days of Halloween.
I remember, like, my dad, for instance, my dad was born in 1949, so, like, he was in college in the late 60s and then early 70s, where basically everyone was just doing a bunch of drugs anyway.
Yeah.
And you need Halloween for that.
Yeah, like, that was just Tuesday.
That's what they did.
But whereas, like, I mean, I remember, because I was still, like, my parents would, when I was really young, they dressed up. It was usually, like, a hippie, or, like, hippies or cowboys or something.
Yeah.
Which I definitely think... Went on well after Little Nick went to bed there. Just put that one together in real time. Very nice. It's called role-playing, folks, and we don't kink-shame
here. Hey, no, it's good for the bedroom.
However, but once I got to, like, 7 or 8, they kind of stopped doing that. And then it kind of became, like, I remember I hit 12. They were like, you still want to? Okay, that's fine. And then I hit, like, 14. It's like, you still want to? So, like, it even surprised me when, like, in college, I saw the levels that people do Halloween. I just don't think, like, I just don't get poo-pooing anything. And I thought the worst part of it
was colleges were my best costumes.
When he was just admitting to being a bad dad.
Well, I mean, I would never accuse Russo of being like the world's greatest dad.
Well, okay, in fairness, but the point was,
I never think of him and be like, that's a role model.
Like, I got to be honest with you, as a dad, I love watching my kids dress up. My kids are 15 and 12, and
it's like the highlight of my day.
I still think it's the most
costumes.
Adorable thing in the world. So the idea that you wouldn't want to go.
Little Shara Snow White, she's already dressed up. Like, look at this picture every single break right now. This is like, I got this like 20 minutes ago.
That is good.
But like, it's just fun.
But I just, like, let's just have some fun, right? 216-474-0092.
You're telling me have some Sanka?
Are you the, have some Sanka? Are you a Grinch on Halloween, or do you actually just like have fun and just realize that life is short, right? Do you go full Mad Dog Russo? They have a gummy. What's best for Kevin Stefanski in 5 minutes? I'm 92.3 fan.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.